There are times when you're so familiar with a term that you never actually stop to examine whether you're actually using that term correctly or not. That's the way everybody talks about it. Years ago, I was studying the concept of hospitality. And of course, there are a number of New Testament passages that speak about the fact that we are to be hospitable people. For example, in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 and in verse 13, it says, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. And over in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 2, it says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. And again, in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 9, it says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. But for the most part, these verses are telling us what we need to do. We need to be hospitable. But it doesn't actually explain, well, how do you be hospitable? And typically, what most people do is we'll fill in the gaps in our knowledge with what we expect, what we already know, what we think our understanding of what hospitality is. And for most Americans, we see hospitality as having somebody over for a meal or inviting someone to a party so that they can enjoy themselves with other people. But the more I dug into the concept, the more I realized that as a whole, our society is basically strayed from a great deal of the concept of what hospitality is when presented in the Bible. Just to give you an idea, if you go across the river over to Council Bluffs, those casinos over there call themselves hospitality centers. Okay? And by that, there's meaning that they supply entertainment for people who are visiting the area or live in the area. And most of the hotels, if you look at them, they'll like to apply the word hospitality to their business as well. In fact, that's why, you know, your guests in the hotel, though you're paying for it. It's not a freely given gift, but we still call it guests and we call it hospitality. See, what ends up happening in American society is we tend to rate hospitality as to how often or how well we've been entertained. You know, you might have your boss or a major client over for dinner, and that's called being hospitable. But here, too, the host is hoping to get something from the service given, maybe a new contract or a remembrance when promotions are available. And what has happened is that same concept then creeps into the church. Every once in a while, I'll get complaints from somebody that says, well, that group over there is not hospitable enough. And it's true, everything that we do as Christians can be improved. No matter how well we do something, I'm sure there is room for improvement. So how much hospitality is enough? Have you ever thought of that? And just what is being meant by hospitality? And at times when somebody complains, I'll ask that question. And usually I'll get vague answers about people having you over for dinner or having a party at their house. And if only a few Christians are having dinner parties, then the group as a whole is condemned for its lack of hospitality. But a greater fascination to me, and I find this true in a lot of different areas, not just this one. Typically, the person who's pointing his finger at the group, at the congregation, almost never has other people over their house. And they often decline invitations when you give them, except among a very select few. And yet they're complaining about other people. We also have people who push individual responsibilities off onto the church. See, the church is then expected to organize social events and organize entertainment for everybody, for various groups, so those groups can then enjoy each other's company. And yet all the verses that deal with hospitality are directed to individual Christians, and they're not directed to congregations. You really can't make an institution out of a personal responsibility. So exactly what is hospitality? There are actually three different Greek words that are being translated as hospitality or hospitable. Now, philoxenia is a compound Greek word that means love of, that's philo, and guest room. Philo is probably familiar with many of us. That, you know, that's the brotherly love. Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. So philo is the brotherly love. Xenia is seen, for instance, in Philemon chapter 20, verse 22. Philemon, and in verse 22, where Paul says, "At the same time, also prepare me a lodging, for I hope to, that through your prayers I will be given to you." That word "lodging" there in my translation. Some of your translation says prepare a guest room. And that's what the word, that xenia means. Okay. It's a room for somebody to serve as a guest. So here, hospitality, then this particular word means a person who loves to have house guests. They even set aside a room just for that purpose. They have a guest room. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse 13, when it says contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality, that's the word there. Practicing having strangers over. Expect, in the sense of overnight guests or people spending time in your home. That word is also used in Hebrews 13. Remember the prisoner, Hebrews 13, verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for this, by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. And that's an allusion to the time when Abraham brought three travelers to his home and then fed them. Now the next word is philo also, philo xenos. It's another compound word. It means love of. And the other one is actually the love of strangers or the love of guests. A stranger doesn't necessarily mean someone you've never met. But it's somebody who's not a part of your immediate family. And again, this can be shown in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 and in verse 35. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. It's not that we're not acquainted with who Jesus is. What he's saying is, wasn't part of your immediate family, but you still had me in that sense. Person's not local. He doesn't have a place to stay. A place was offered. And it might also apply to a person who's acting as a host to a stranger. So like, for instance, in Romans 16, in verse 23, Gaius hosts to me, a stranger to me, but he hosted me. And to the whole church greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, greets you, and Quartus, the brother. So people who are not from this particular region, they would be Zenos. It doesn't mean they don't have local family. It means they don't have local family to watch over them, to give them aid, because they're here, not where their family's at. And in this congregation, you know, many of us are not natives of this area. I'm getting to that point. I've been here 26 years now. But there's a lot of us that we moved into this area. And, you know, many of us put down roots here. But we constantly have people moving in who have no local ties. They're strangers, in a sense, among us. Do we invite them in? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, elders are told to have a love for strangers. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. For men will be... Oh, sorry. 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2. An overseer, then, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. That is also in Titus 1 and verse 8. Now, all Christians are to practice hospitality. We're to treat each other with love. That is expected of Christians. In fact, take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4. And in verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Most of us are not related to each other. But what brings us together is our common love for Christ, our love for God and for His Word, our common belief. And yet we watch out for each other. We care about each other like family. There's a really beautiful description of Christians that was written by a man named Aristid in 125 BC. Or 125, it should have been AD. I wrote down BC. But it was written about 125 AD. The Christians, O king, went about and searched, and they found the truth. As I have learned from their writings, they have come nearer to the truth and genuine knowledge than the rest of the nations. Falsehood is not found among them, and they love one another. They do not turn away their care from widows, and they deliver the orphan from anyone who treats them harshly. He who has gives to him who has not, and this is done without boasting. When they see a stranger, they take him into their homes, and they rejoice over him as a very brother. For they do not call themselves brothers after the flesh, but brothers after the Spirit and in God. Whenever one of the poor among them passes from this world, each one of them gives heed to him according to his ability and carefully sees to his burial. And if they hear that one of their number is imprisoned or afflicted because of the name of their Christ, all of them carefully attend to his needs. If it is possible to redeem him, they set him free. And if there are any poor or needy among them, but if they have no spare food to give, they fast 2 or 3 days in order to supply the necessary food to the needy. And that's a fascinating description of what Christianity really is like. That's what this person saw among Christians, and this is what really we're talking about when we're saying hospitable. I don't think I can think of a more beautiful tribute to the children of God and the essence of what hospitality is in that description. There's another word, and that's xenodocheo, It means, again, xeno is the stranger word again, and docheo is a lodging. It's only used in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 10. Talking about the widow. It says, having a reputation for good works, and if she's brought up children, if she's shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, if she has devoted herself to every good work. But notice here, when she talks, it talks about just not only lodging strangers, but washing the saints' feet. That was her part of her aid to strangers. Giving people who are not family a place to stay. A home in your home. And that's what we see with, like, Gaius. Had Paul in his home. We read that in Romans chapter 16, verse 23. Or take a look at Acts 10 with Simon the Tanner. Acts chapter 10 and verse 5. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for the man named Simon, who is called also called Peter. He is staying with the tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. Simon the tanner had been giving lodging to Peter, not because they were related or because they happened to have the same name, but because here was somebody that he didn't know, but they had a common relationship of being Christians. There's another one in Acts 21. In Acts 21 and verse 15. And after these days, we got ready and started on our way up to Jerusalem, and some disciples from Caesarea also came to us, taking us to Mnason of Cyprus, a disciple of long standing with whom we were to lodge. And after that, we arrived in Jerusalem. The brethren received us gladly. Here, again, it's mentioned somebody, in this case, Mnason, lodged Paul, his traveling companions. The church also, when he got to Jerusalem, welcomed Paul and his companions, made him feel at home. What I want you to start seeing by going through these words is the Bible's idea of hospitality is different from the American view. The American view places emphasis on the entertainment. The Bible places emphasis on the treatment of brethren as family. So, like, for instance, in our scripture reading, it's 3 John. 3 John and in verse 3. It says, for I was very glad when the brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in the truth. For I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. For they have testified to your love before the church. You do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men, so that we may be fellow workers with them and with the truth. Here, he writes to the elect lady. She aided brethren, probably the congregation there is what he's talking about, while they were in her area. Because of her love for the church, she cared for them, sent them on in a worthy manner. Think about Dorcas back in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And down in verse 39, so Peter arrived and went with them. And when he arrived, they brought him into the upper room. And all the widows stood beside him, weeping, showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. She made clothes for her fellow sisters in Christ, the ones that were poor. This was hospitality. Or even in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verse 41. For whoever gives you a cup of water is to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. Just even a cup of water to someone who is a follower of Christ. That is hospitality. It's treating other people like family. In other words, that term that we call each other brethren or brothers and sisters, it's not just a title. It is how we should see each other. You know, the Old Testament has similar requirements for the Israelites. Take a look at Leviticus 19. Just as one example, Leviticus 19 and verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. God made a requirement. You didn't, when you cut down the grain and some of it falls to the side, you left it there. Why? So that other people who are less fortunate can come and gather up food. You didn't pick every single grape off the grapevine. You left a few. Again, so that somebody could be taken care of. Because they ought to understand that not everyone is well off. They were to treat other people as, even strangers, as Israelites. That same chapter, Leviticus 19, go down to verse 33. When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall do him no wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you. And you shall love him as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Even non-Israelites were to be treated with as if they were Israelites. I think the Jews, by the time Jesus day, lost sight of that. But people were to be treated with respect. They were treated as if they were family. And they were supposed to show each other love by giving food and clothing. Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 18. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. And hospitality is basically knowing you have family no matter where you go. And whenever you meet brethren. Now think about the opportunities we have here. We have brethren who drive through here constantly. Do we see to their needs? And I think we try to as best we can. We have brethren who are in the area temporarily for work. Do we make sure that they're not lonely? We have brethren who move in for a while with the military. Do they know they have brothers and sisters, moms and dads who are willing to ease the heartaches from being far from home? A lot of times these military, this first time they're away from home for any length of time. And I know we do a fair job. I think we do a fairly good job here. I've lost track of the number of times people have left here and later write and say that they missed the group here and wish they could have come back. Hospitality isn't measured by the number of people you invite over for dinner. Though hospitable people do that often. it isn't one particular type of deed, but how you treat other people. And I've heard so many people say, oh, if I just had, I would be hospitable if I had a bigger house or if I had time to cook. Or, well, hospitality doesn't require those things. Think about how you would treat your mother or your father or your brother or your sister if they lived in the area. That is how hospitable brethren should be treating one another. And one last passage to consider. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and starting with verse 13. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of the death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts before him. Hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to become one, to become a part of the family of God. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward if we stand and sing the song Selected.